us today, speaking to us this morning. I join in welcoming all of you here to our service this morning. In our meditation, I would like to direct our thoughts toward the subject of trade-offs. What is a trade-off? I did just a little looking up. A situation which you must choose between or balance two things that are opposite or cannot be had at the same time. Something that you do not want but must accept in order to have something that you do want. Is an exchange, a trade-off is an exchange where you give up one thing in order to get something else that you also desire. You know, it's a subject that we often face, but it's a subject that we maybe don't consider too much. This morning, we had quite a few trade-offs. We traded the relative comfort and warmth of our beds on this blustery winter morning for getting up and to some relative discomforts. We traded off our night clothes for our Sunday clothes, thankfully, and traded our warm houses for a cold car, a cold vehicle. We traded our small families for the larger church family. Many of these trade-offs are relatively insignificant, relatively inconsequential. But there are trade-offs that we can make that have life-changing, that have profound implications for us today. To get us going this morning, I'd like to look at some examples from the scriptures of people who made trade-offs. And I want to, if you want to open your Bibles after a bit, to be looking in Genesis chapter 3 for perhaps one of the most graphic examples of trade-offs that all of history has ever known. I think of Adam and Eve, and I want to come back and look at them in the reading. They traded innocence for guilt. They traded peace for conflict. They traded perfection for chaos, for brokenness. They traded life for death. Many trade-offs, many profoundly sad trade-offs that we're still living with, the results that we're still living with today. Noah, maybe in a positive way, traded off his reputation possibly for this crazy idea of going off and building that big boat. And he lived with the development of that trade-off for, what, 100 or 120 years. Abraham, the man who left his familiar home and traded it off for going off into the unknown, following the voice of his father. Think of Lot, who traded probably the safety of isolation or separation for the convenience of living and casting his tent close to Sodom. And that trade-off had a profound effect for him. Think of Moses. He traded those pleasures of Egypt for suffering with God's people. Trade-offs, many major trade-offs with profound implications. The New Testament, we could look at Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, how he traded his position and his prestige in that Jewish system and handed in his credentials to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Genesis 3, we are still reaping the consequences, perhaps 6,000 years later, of that decision that Adam and Eve made there in the garden that day. That decision is coloring the canvas of all of life's history, of life's paintings that have been made ever since and will continue to color that until the end of time. I want to read part of Genesis 3 here, reading from the King James. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the tree, eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Moving on, verse 17, And to Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Verse 23, Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24, So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. This morning, I would like to look at the effects of trade-offs that are primarily negative. If I had more time, it would be good to have a more balanced treatment of this subject. Maybe another time we can look at the effects of positive trade-offs. You know, an effective salesman is one who creates in a person a desire for something, a desire that makes the person rationalize that what he has to give up in exchange for that object or that product is worth the trade-off. You know, if the salesman would always have your best interest in mind, that could be a pretty good arrangement. But there's salesmen who are out there not looking out for the best interests of their clients. They're looking out primarily for their own best interests. And in our lives today, in the spiritual sense, we are faced with a salesman who, I can assure you, does not have our best interests in mind. Just as he approached Eve in the garden, he is approaching us today with offers that we too often entertain and occasionally we fall for. This morning I'd like to look at some general principles about poor or bad trade-offs. I just want to mention a handful of them here, moving rapidly. The implications of the trade-off are not always readily apparent. I think we can say that all trade-offs have implications because you're trading this situation for something else, and you've kind of rationalized, maybe you haven't even rationalized, but you've decided that you can give up this to get this. All trade-offs, I believe, have implications. For Adam and Eve, the offer to eat some attractive fruit and become like gods, knowing good and evil. Sounds kind of simple and kind of harmless on the surface, but what were the results? Sin entered, death entered. They were driven from the garden. Fellowship with their father God was broken. The trade-off had profound implications, and it wasn't implications that were readily apparent from the start. Secondly, the devil is a master salesman. You know, a successful salesman can size up his client, and he can kind of pick out the Achilles heel or the weaknesses of that person. How many of you men have gone to a trade show and you came across some gadget that you'd never seen before, never had any idea that you needed, but by the time you left the show, you had one of those tucked under your arm? The devil is into false advertising. I remember something that happened soon after we moved to Nicaragua. It wasn't unusual for salespeople to come, or people wanting to peddle something, to come up to our gate. One day a lady came up and she had different rose plants that she wanted to sell. Well, Judy and I both like flowers, and so she gave her a little spiel, and these were special grafted roses, roses that would have different color blooms on one plant. And she had different blooms on some of these little plants, and we were looking at them, and eventually decided to buy a few, and she went on down the street. And Judy was looking at the plants sometime later, and she was, I don't know, playing around with the blooms or whatever, and all at once, this bloom came off. And then she started looking some more, and other blooms were coming off, and they were coming off very easily. And apparently this lady had gone somewhere, probably even stole the flowers, I don't know, clipped them off, punched little holes in the bottom of the buds, and stuck them down over different stems of the roses. We could kind of laugh that off and just chalk it up to experience, but we're dealing with a salesman where the stakes are much higher. Another point, you can't get something for nothing. How often have we heard that? If there's a deal that sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. When it comes to trade-offs with the devil, we can't get something for him without giving up something in return. And in dealing with him, we always end up with the short end of the stick. He does not have our best interests in mind. You know, I think of moral compromises that people make. Some of those fleshly attractions can seem so appealing, so inviting. A little indulgence here or there shouldn't hurt anything, should it? Wrong. I shudder to think where I would be today if I had accepted all of the trade-offs that the devil has offered me in my life, and I'm sure that you can identify with these kinds of things. The devil wants us to think that the law of averages doesn't apply to us. I was interacting with a person some time ago whose life had spiraled out of control. He had returned to drugs after having been off for a time, presumably. This time it was meth, and he was saying something like this, that, it was kind of a win-win situation. It gives him energy, and people don't seem to know that he's affected, or it doesn't show that he's affected by it, and it actually helps his sinuses. That was his perception, or the things that he was wanting to believe. The reality was his performance was spiraling terribly. His life was in chaos. He ended up being returned to become a ward of the state penal system. The devil wants us to think that the law of averages doesn't apply to us. The implication of a trade-off are often cumulative. One compromise, one trade-off leads to the next. I don't know of anyone that went from being a godly, God-fearing Sunday school teacher one Sunday to being a skid row bum at the rescue mission the next. There's likely people who have made that switch, but generally the transition is much more gradual. A social drink here or there, a party somewhere that got a little out of hand, that false feeling of security that came when the troubles were just kind of blanketed over with that warm feeling of alcohol, and that occasional binge that became a lifestyle. Our sinful trade-offs are often cumulative. The poet said it well, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Some trade-offs are profoundly life-changing. There's some laws that allow a person to back off of a purchase or to retract a purchase within 24 hours or something like that if you have buyer's remorse. In life, there are some big trade-offs that can bless or that can haunt a person throughout his whole life. I think of marriage. Let me say, first of all, lest you get any ideas, that my trade-off for singleness with marriage to Judy was one of the best trade-offs I ever made, so just relax. However, that's not the case for many people. Someone I knew said something like this: marrying so-and-so, his wife, was the stupidest thing that I ever did. In reality, it may not have been too far off, that comment. No surprise, that marriage ended in divorce. It didn't thrive. Someone else was saying about her husband, I wasn't really in love with him as much as I was in love with being loved. Others, people who were deeply conscientious, married partners who were far less so. What is a godly woman or man to do when they find themselves married to someone who's wanting to take them places where they don't want to go and doing things that they don't want to do? Do they follow their partners or do they pull away? You have two options, neither one of them at that point good options necessarily. What is the responsibility to their children, to their family? At least two options, and neither one seems ideal. I feel deeply for people in these type of situations. Young people, in fact, all of us, if someone's offering you a ride, try to find out where they're going before you commit to going along. In conclusion, this meditation has been a little negative this morning. And in a limited amount of time that we have, it's hard to address it thoroughly. Let me insert a few positives yet. We are not doomed to bad trade-offs. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. With God's help, we can escape. I talked of the cumulative effects of bad trade-offs. There are accumulative effects of good responses to temptation as well. The songwriter said it well in the song, Yield Not to Temptation, where he says, each victory will help you, some other to win. This morning, the devil is offering us many trade-offs. Let's be aware of his schemes, and let's resist him in the power of that triumphant, risen Jesus Christ. Let's come before him in prayer. Let's kneel. Dear God, we thank you this morning that there hath no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man, and that you are faithful. You will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. I just pray, dear God, that when we're faced with trade-offs that may look attractive on the surface, that we would be able to take the big look and to see what those things can result in. Just give us your courage, give us your strength, give us your power. This morning, I pray that we could just put our hand in yours and that you would lead us as we face the temptations and the potential trade-offs in life. Bless this service today for your glory. Be with each one of the Sunday school teachers. Be with the one who brings the message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we've been challenged.